Okay, so in our discussion, Rabbosai, regarding Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, we said that one of the reasons why, we gave two reasons why it was special. One was because Sharofa Yudei Medivrei Torah, that Klal Yisrael in Refidim, they said, Ayesh Hashem B'kirbeinu Moin, as a result of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will set the dogs on you. And he sent Amalek to fight Klal Yisrael. It was the first time that Klal Yisrael had been attacked. Baruch Hashem, at the end, we won the battle, but it was a lesson to be learnt, and therefore, when they left Refidim, it was Bitshuva, and they arrived in Har Sinai, and that was Bitshuva. And therefore, it's Azman Shuva, they left Erev Rosh Chodesh, and therefore it's Azman Shuva Lakoil, and that was one special reason. The other one, obviously, is as a Hachana for Matan Torah, we need to mend our ways, etc. And therefore, they say that it is a day of, that even people who don't do Yom Kippur Kotlin the whole year round, and people who don't do the Tefillah of the Shloh, but on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, that is Zman Mesugal for people to be involved in being Mesakin Kol in Yonei HaBayis. That was the Lashon that we had. It's a time for a person to improve his household and to look at the, to look back at the family and to be Mespal for the family. There are many people who have the minag on every Erev Rosh Chodesh. And some people only have the minhag on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, some people have only on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, to fast. And it's interesting halacha here, because I couldn't work out at the beginning what was the whole point. It says here, Roy Teliasanois, if somebody wishes to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, let's say, then Tzorech Lekabel Alov Atanas B'mincho B'Shalofonov. In Sidurim there's a nusach printed for Kabbalah Satanis. Some people say it in Shema Koleinu, before Kiyat Hoshemeah, but it says, Lechatchila, it's better that one should only think about it, to be Mekabel Atanis, that one should think by Shemeah Tefillah, and then just before Yilrotzon, to actually say the Nusach of the Kabbalah Atanis, which says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I plan to do Atanis tomorrow, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Mekabel, Mi Yitchel Bi Vedomi, etc. It should be Atanis. It says that was you're mekabel the tanis on the mincha shalafonov. Yeah, on the mincha in the afternoon before the tanis. Da'ainu bebecha shmei atfila yehara beliboy shemekabel lov lesanis lemocha. That in shmei atfila of the mincha before he thinks to himself, I intend to be mekabel tanis. See, it's also because you also he should say the nusach hanidfas besidurim. Then you should say that nusach. And then there's a few paragraphs afterwards about what happens if he forgot. Can he be Mekabel Tanis Bein Hashmoshos? Can you still be Mekabel Tanis at night? Can you still be Mekabel Tanis in the morning if you haven't eaten anything yet? And the question is, what do you need the Kabbalah Satanis for? I was trying to work it out. If somebody wants to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, let him fast. So just don't eat, yeah? Why does it help? So it seems that it is...
What?
Look up what? It's Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, yeah. It's a serious day, a day of Teshuvah, a person wants to fast. A chosam b'yom chuposoi, does he have to be mekabel tanis on the day beforehand? Or somebody who has a minik that he fasts on the day of Yotzeit, if he has a Yotzeit for his parent? Yeah, does he have to be mekabel tanis on the day beforehand? And here there's a whole thing, you have to be mekabel tanis, and if you're not mekabel tanis now, then you've got dais as to whether or not you can do it later on, and if not. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think that the explanation behind it is that if a person has either intended or said, made an Eda, that he intends to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, or he's done it three times, Eza Dovatov Shenahakti Sholosh Pa'omim, for Loyas Nesi Sheyehe B'li Neda, and maybe he's done that three times on three occasions, in between the last Hatoras Nadorim that he did on Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, then he's got a Shaila of a Neda. And the question is, are you Mekayim your Neda just by fasting, or do you have to actually be Mekabel the Neda? You have to actually be Mekabel on yourself the Tanis. If it's just sort of that I'm just not eating, rather than that I'm actually Mekabel Atanis, maybe he's not Mekayim his Neda and he still owes Atanis, has to do Tashlumin. It's possible. Also, if there's a minion together of people who are fasting on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, then it said, we learnt already, that they can get together, they can line Vayechal. Yeah, they can lay vayichal together, and they say Aneinu Hashem Aneinu in tefillah, etc. They treat it as if there's a minyan of people. It could be that if there are nine people who've been mekabel tarnis and are being mekayim the tarnis, and this tenth person is just somebody who is, he forgot to be mekabel tarnis, not last night, not yesterday afternoon, and he remembers this morning, so he says, oh, I'm not going to eat because I'm mekabel tarnis. Maybe he can't be mestarf to the minyan, that they should be able to. To line vayichal together to do kriyas haTorah b'tzibur and say aneinu. I'm not sure, but there is a lot of discussion about being mekabel tanis. Clearly, if somebody wants to fast erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, being mekabel tanis on the afternoon beforehand in Mincha is the right thing to do.
Started at Torway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Kavvov Iyar, 13th of May. Reino Rav Gershon Duna Shlita, Rav of Torat Moshe. Kol Netzach Yisrael, Savos Rav Yehuda Chosid, Part 2. This week's Torah been sponsored by Nishmas of Beiruch by Rav Mordechai Akern Zatzal. As the outside was last Friday, Kaf Aleph Iyar, and our esteemed founder, Rav Yisado Ben Rav Shem Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz of Zichrono Livracha.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we're continuing our deep dive into the tzavo of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. If you remember, we discussed already last week that there's a fascinating tzavo with 78 different directives written by Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, who was the Rebbe of many Rishonim that we go with from Ashkenaz, the Zeruah and the Smag, and the Rishonim already say very amazing things about Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, and he was a Boki b'halacha, Boki b'kabbalah, and Ruach HaKodesh, all sorts of superlatives they say about him. He came from a very chosheva family, parents, the father and the grandfather quoted by the Balei Tosfos all over the place. And we're going to... Yeah, very much so, yeah. And all the Tamidim are the Rishonim who the Ramah goes with. So he wrote the Sefer Chassidim, and we're going to examine some more of his tzavos. Some of them are very, very famous. Some of them are unheard of before, and we'll discuss which ones we do keep, which ones we don't keep. Okay, so I tried today to try and do some tzavos from the end of the will, because the ones at the beginning are already more famous, but most people give up when they reach the end. So, okay, so tzavo 74. Pamachas niftar bebayis meis echot. There was once someone who died in a house. Uba echod, v'shasa mayim, shehayu ba'isay habayis. And someone came and drank water that had been in the house when the person died. Shnifta hames. Ra'ol chacham, one chacham saw this, v'gar boy. And he screamed at him, why are you drinking water from the house where a person died? L'shar kala, very soon after, yotza nishmosay, oisay shasa mayim. The person who drank the water from the house which the guy had died in, he passed away. V'shalu l'chacham, ma yisyodea, what did you know that we didn't know that you screamed at him for drinking water from a house where someone died? And he said, ani ra'isi, the chacham said, I saw the malach hamoves, sheshifshif sakinoi b'mayim, shehoyu b'bayis l'achar p'tirishin. I saw the malach hamoves took his knife that he used to kill the guy, and he washed it up in the water there. And therefore, I was upset that he was drinking from the water where the dangerous the knife had been washed up in, and the fellow died. Okay. This is brought down in Abu Dram, the Ezra, the Smag, the Modcha, and in the Shulchan Aruch. So this one seems to have been accepted by the Peskim. Shulchan Aruch says, let me just find it.
Are you saying when the mace is in the hands?
When the mace dies. When the mace actually dies. Okay, I can't find it here. Oh, that's fine, because I'm in the wrong place. Minig, says the Mechaber, in Shin Lamatesif, hey, Lishboich kol hamayim she'uvim she'beshchunas hamis. Meaning to pour out all the water that's in the shchuna of the mace, says the Taz, Hatam, Lefisha malach hamoves, mapu b'mayim tipas dam hamoves, and therefore, it's going to be dangerous. V'hach shchuna. What's a shchuna? He says it's not so clear how far it is. And Tosfos says it means three houses on each side, so to speak. Okay. Fine. So that is, so far we have brought down the halacha, this one. Now there's a few reasons, we have one reason we just mentioned, but the Mabe Yabak brings down. We'll get there. Okay. So the partial reason is, like, they're dangerous because the knife is the dam. Fine. Others bring down another reason, that it's to show people that in the end, everything dies. Everyone dies. The man died. The water, which is the source of life, you also pour away to show them that in the end, unfortunately, everyone is going to die. Says the Shach, another reason. Says the Shach, Hatam, sheyodu hakol, sheyesh boi mikre mavet. Everyone should know that someone died. You're not supposed to be the bearer of bad news. So instead of having to go around and say, excuse me, do you know he died? Rather, when you see everyone pouring out all the water, lo yitzdarech lo yidia bepeh, so he should be motzi dibara, and therefore, that's the next reason the Shach brings down why I put out the water. It's a way of informing everyone that the guy's dead.
You don't know who it is.
Yeah, normally, you had like, yeah, I'm asking. Okay. Some say that the two reasons are together. The fact that it's dangerous and the fact you don't announce it, they put the two together. Why? The Be'etzem, it's a baltashchis. You can't just pour out water for no reason. And therefore, even though it will be moneer you from saying bad news, there will not be enough of a reason to pour water in the bin. And therefore, the fact that the water is dangerous as well, that is a reason to pour it out. Why is the fact that the water is dangerous enough of a reason? Because you have to drink it, you could use it for other purposes, and therefore, with the two reasons together, it's anyway damaged goods, it's not great water. And you want to stop telling people bad news, that's why you do it together. Now, other people say that this whole problem of saying bad news is not a problem anymore. Rabbi Terry Tisrael, the Levaya colors that very gleefully go around with a very funny tone saying the Levaya. Everyone, you do inform people that people die, and therefore that seems to be the minig that not too worried about that. And the main reason is because of Sakon. The Tashbat brings down that when Miriam died, the Be'er stopped. There was no more water for the Jews. And by this, that we pour out water when someone dies, we're saying, this person was such a chosh of a person, it was royu that in his zechus the water would stop. We haven't got water. It's no shakim. It's a way of giving a zechus to the nifter, saying how chosh of he was that in his zechus the water. And the gematria of Vatomos Shom Miriam is 1,476. It is, I worked it out. And the gematria of Bekan Remez Lishbech Hamay Bifnei Hames is 1,476. And that is a remez, that's why we pour the water. There's a few nafkaminas between these reasons. Is it not to inform people, or is it because you don't want, because it's dangerous? Nafkamina is if a tzaddik passed away. Because a tzaddik normally dies with misa nashika, the nachmav doesn't come with a sword. And therefore, according to the reason of sakana, there will be no need by when a tzaddik dies to pour it out. Mashainkin, according to the reason of not to inform, then that would still be okay. There's a shayla in the poskim, what happens when a non-Jew dies? Is there an Indian to pour out the water? And again, l'ch'oira, it will be toil on these reasons. If it's because you shouldn't announce bad news, it's not dafka such bad news. Sorry for all our goyish listeners. Masha'enkein, if it's because the Malach HaMavesh was there with his sword, then that would still be a problem. Okay. If someone dies on Shabbos, same shayla. Because if it's al sakana, then you want to pour out the water because it's dangerous. Mashenkin, if the reason is because you want to tell the people that the person died, you don't want to tell them on Shabbos that the person died, and therefore one would not pour out the water on Shabbos because you're telling people bad news on Shabbos, you're not supposed to do. And the person can bring down that the Chori should pour it out on Matzah Shabbos, but then you get rid of both problems. You no more Sakona, and you're allowed to tell the people. Now, Pashtus is only uncovered water in the house. It's not, and bottled water is not going to be a problem. Sefer Chassidim, written by the same author, discusses what happens if you have a geshmaka cup of water and you make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haim, Shehakol Nir Bivari, and then they tell you, someone just died. Are you allowed to drink the water or not? And he says you should be toyim a tiny bit of it and then pour it out. Now, you have to be toyim it to save yourself from a bracha levatola, which is machlokes rishonim, toyim the Rambam, could be an issa d'oraisa, and therefore, Rabbi Kiyoga says that even if you hold it sakana, but and therefore you're stopping yourself doing a potential issa d'oraisa, and therefore it's still kedai to taste it before you pour it out. So that was one interesting savar which you may or may not have heard of before. It'll be a problem, because the chor will be the whole, it'll be a problem. I don't know what the answer is. There is raid though in the hospital that you don't want to inform people that someone's died because it could be b'koach nefesh. For people to hear that all their friends are dropping on the floor and it's not most schmucker news, and therefore I've once heard a thrower that you're not supposed to be in hospitals inform people of that because it could be b'koach nefesh to get their spirits down. Okay. Next tzavor, ayin hey. This one, everyone knows, because this one costs you money. It's brought down a lock as well. Loi yitol ha-mezuzah. You shall not remove the mezuzah. Kusha'oika medira asher dor bo. When you leave an apartment or a house that you were living in, ki sakona hu, it is a sakona. Okay. The story in Gemara about Matzir Kupes Mzalef, Gemara that says, Hanaska b'ayis ha-chaveri, the soicha to make the mezuzahs, and when he leaves, Loi yitlena b'yodoi v'yotzer. The Gemara says, when you leave, you should not take it with you.
Can you change?
We'll get there. We're not going to leave anything open, don't worry. From a goyish house, note la b'yodoi v'yotzer, it says, the goy will be mavaza the mezuzah, the goy, you should for sure take it out. U'maisa b'echad shenotla v'yotzer, v'kovar es ishtoi v'beis banachonos. So this brings a story of someone who did not listen to this, and he ended up burying his wife and children. Tosef brings down that mazikin come to a house that has no mezuzah, and therefore you're causing damage by removing the mezuzahs, and therefore you have to keep them up. I don't understand. What's the problem? You're taking them with you, and the new tenant will put his mezuzahs there. What mazikin? What's the chashash? Yeah, you're not mechuyev to be. No, I don't go around. I'm not a gemach to give mezuzahs to every house in the world. So why? Because I lived here, do I have to leave my mezuzahs there? What do you mean mazikin? The new guy should make sure no mazikin come. And they say that in Chutz La'aretz, where there's no chiyuv for the first 30 days to put mezuzah up, and therefore for the first 30 days the guy may not. It's a shayla what you do if you rent a house for long term. You put it straight away, take it down, put it back up. There's balagan. But again, the question is that if there's no chiyuv to put mezuzahs up, then why is mazikin going to come? Because you've done nothing wrong. Some people say that the chashash is that they might not put the mezuzahs on straight away, and therefore there will be a chiyuv mezuzah. You are, so to speak, causing the mezuzahs not to be in place, and therefore you're causing these mazikin to come, and therefore you shouldn't do so. When you move in, let's say it's all for sure, when you move into a house, you've got to put mezuzah the first day. And many people, the day they move into the house, the first thing they're busy with is to get all the mezuzahs in the right place and get the rav, and it's a balagan. You're not supposed to sleep there, that's all for sure, even one night out of mezuzah.
Somebody rents a place for less than 30 days.
Not mechuyev mezuzah in chutz la'aretz.
Yeah,
Balagan hotel rooms is a discussion, but yeah. Okay. The Mechiyotze brings down that you're causing the Shechina to be nostalgic. The Rishon Lezion, the Aruchayim Kodesh brings down that, not the Rishon Lezion, in Sefer Rishon Lezion, he brings down that you were scared that Tlifne Iver, the new guy, might not put mezuzahs. It's brought halacha this. The Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Machaba all bring down this halacha. So this is the question, why this is Tzavar? This is a Gemara Mufareshes. Yeah, it's not like Ruzachos is made up a Tzavar. This is a quote of Gemara Bava Metziah. And they say the answer is that even if the new guy is standing there with his mezuzahs, and he wants to put the mezuzahs down, and therefore, lefi many other reasons, there's no chashash. He's got his homemade mezuzahs, and I'm taking mine off and put it straight up. There's no problem. Nevertheless, you're not supposed to go and remove the mezuzahs. Okay. Even if you put them down on condition, you're going to remove them when you leave. It doesn't help. You have to leave them there. Now, so what do we do? The Dark Solution brings down that you are allowed to substitute it with a lesser quality mezuzah. So you have your handmade mezuzahs that you got your sofa to make for you, and you're allowed to remove them, put in instead shvachara, kosher mezuzahs, and leave them in the space, and that is going to be okay. And Ravazna explains, that the low plug we say, when a new guy is coming, even if he wants to put his mezuzah there, we tell him, no, you're not allowed to. That's a low plug. But there's no low plug on what mezuzahs have to be there, and therefore, if I want to remove them for different mezuzahs, you're going to be okay. I have heard an eighth of people do is that they borrow mezuzahs from a gemach. So the gemach have mezuzahs for people who need short term. So you go to a gemach, you borrow 20 mezuzahs, you put them up on the wall, you take yours down, and then when a new guy comes, he now, the mezuzahs there, there's no mazikim, but the maisa, he can't keep them forever because they belong to the gemach. And therefore, that's a way of getting around the problem of losing money, and then this new guy will have to return to the gemach and put his mezuzahs up, and that ask a local
authority. Responsibility.
Yeah, correct. That's a dodginess here. Yeah, that's why I don't love this Eitzah. Okay. The emotion brings down if you're swapping mezuzahs, don't do it the day you leave, do it a few days before. The Chaznish was Machmeh. Chaznish said, you don't take off mezuzahs, full stop. Another trick, you could take mezuzahs off to check them. Some people say, take them down to get them checked when you leave the house. And then you don't put them back up. You're left now and let the new guy think. But again, many are machmir on that. Now, so let's say you have to leave your mezuzahs there. Can you charge the new guy? What do you all them hold?
Says the Ramah.
Okushiyotza lo yitlena biyodim. Chaba says, don't remove the mezuzahs. Says Ramah, vim hikpid al ma'osav, hasheni tzorich l'shalem loy. If you charge the guy, he's obligated to pay you. However, if he doesn't want to pay you, then you can't take them. So it's a bit like catch 22 here. You're allowed to charge him, but normally if you charge someone who doesn't pay you, you don't give him the goods. But here, you can charge him, but he's not obligated to give you the money. He's obligated, but if he chooses not to, the person can say, you can do is, often, you have financial dealings with a new tenant, and therefore you're allowed to knock off the value of the mezuzahs from whatever money you might owe him from stuff you bought and sold each other, because he halachically owes you the money, even though you cannot threaten him with a mulam mezuzah if he doesn't pay. But you have to be a mensch.
Halachically, he owes it to you.
Ramah says, if a matbid hasheni tzorich l'shalem yoy, l'shalem loy,
the full price.
Yeah, the value where they are now. Whatever.
Yeah. So. Is that a moral obligation or a
no? There are more, not like a Musa Sefer. Again, I think so. Yeah. Now, even if you know the house will remain vacant after you vacate it, you should not take them down unless you know there's a goy coming or if you know they're going to demolish it. If they're going to demolish it, the escalation still says don't take them straight away. Wait until they come mamish to start demolishing it and only then should you stop. Next, Savar 73. V'chein, now this, I apologize in advance, no one should get stressed, because it's going to be okay. V'chein, lo yikru shem bonov, you shouldn't call your sons the names, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, lo Moshe. Ki ha'echad yomus, o yichle, o ye ele Moshoita, v'harbet dvarim, ki yitzibay. Now, what's going on? You shouldn't call your kids Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakov, or Moshe, and if you do, it's going to be very bad stuff. Sorry. So, the Chiddah brings down that if you look in the Gemara, there's not any Tanoim called, or Amoraim, in the whole Shas, called Avraham. It doesn't exist. There's one Amora in Gittin Daf Nun called Avram, without a hay. There's no Tanoim called Yitzchak in the Gemara, in the prices they are. Yaakov is a very popular name all over the Gemara, everyone's called Yaakov. There's no Tanoim called Moshe also. The Chiddah brings down, it's only a Sakona if you're calling after Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, or Yaakov Avinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu. However, if you're calling after Grandpa Avram, there's no problem at all. The Avnei Nezer was once sitting and a man came in distraught. He had a kvittel. He said that my son is deathly ill. We need a refuah shleima. And the Avnei Nezer took the kvittel in his hand. He looks at it and it says the name is Moshe ben whatever. And he says, tell me, who is Moshe called after? He said, oh, I'll tell you. My Tyra Moshele was born on Zion Adar. So I called him Moshe after Moshe Rabbeinu. I thought it was appropriate to call him after Moshe Rabbeinu. Zayin Adar, Moshe's birthday, Moshe's Yahrzeit. And he said, that's the problem. It's a sakana to call after Moshe Rabbeinu, to call after someone whose whole nefesh was masukun and his neshama was left in perfection. You shouldn't call after, and that is the source of the book. There are those who are medayik that you shouldn't call Bonov, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. It's a problem to call all three sons Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. You have to do one. That's not a problem. The Menachas Yitzchak has a truth about this, and he says it's not a problem at all. It's doshu boy rabim. There's no sakana at all, and that seems to be the minik.
Is he saying it's disrespectful?
It's obviously, I think, not appropriate.
What's the reason for it?
They're such big people, it's not appropriate to call after
the
disrespectful. Yeah.
One from Moshe, what happened?
What did he say?
Change the name.
I don't say the end of the story. I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, of course, that's an introduction for this. He only meant it, that many say he only meant all this for Eniklach, and therefore it's Yotochin, that this is stump going to be okay. I think there's another one, I didn't get too involved in it, there's a fascinating Savar, which Mamish, no one keeps. Let me find it for you. Logic for Ish Mizari. You shouldn't call your son Yehuda or Shmuel. Whoa. I mean, and his name was Yehuda and his father's name was Shmuel, by the way. So they say it could be saying not to call after him. And but, okay. There he also brings down that a Rav shouldn't settle in the town of Hilberg.
Hilberg.
Hilberg. But In that Tzavah, he says, no Rav should ever live in the town of Hilberg. Now, we feel very sorry for the Jews of Hilberg who are destined never to have a Rav, because he doesn't say no Jews can live there. We're not getting, he says a Koyan shouldn't live in the town of Rigensburg. And that they say, because perhaps there was a base of pras there, that there was bones there, and therefore he didn't want... Oh, come on. Lo yisa Adam Isha Achere shouldn't marry a second wife. Sheshma ki Ishtar Rishonah, who had the same name as your first wife. And they bring down the same the other way around. A lady should marry a husband who has the same name as her first husband. The Kaf HaChaim brings it down, the Halach. The reason, some of self-obvious reasons, that she'll be thinking of the other husband, and it's not, it won't, they won't have shalom between them if she's always calling the same name. Others say that it's bad luck on the couple. It's like destined that if Avram is married to Sarah, that's going to be bad luck. Horaya, Sarah died. So now, if Avram goes and marries the second Sarah, that's going to keep the bad luck rolling, and therefore you shouldn't do so.
If she got two names.
Oh, so we'll see in a second. The Horaya's Nothing Shetna brings down that Kivyega's daughter was called Sorrel. And she was married Ziv Grishon to a Yid of Avram Moshe, who was Av Bezdin, I can't pronounce the town, but he was a big Rav. And he quoted in Kivyega's Tshuva and Simon in Tshuva Tzadi Hei, he was son of Kivyega, and he died. And Sorrel got remarried. Anyone know who Kivyega's daughter remarried second time? Chasam Sofer, whose name was Rav Moshe. So we see that even though the first one was called Avram Moshe, and he was called Moshe, that is seemingly not a problem. Now, okay, that's when you have two names, that's one way out of it. The Chasam Sofer's first wife was also called Sorrel. So the Chasam Sofer married two wives, and both of them were called Sorrel. In the Tanoim of the first wife, though, they have the Tanoim, it says Sorrel, not Sorrel. But in one of the Tshuvas of Chasam Sofer, he does refer to her as Sorrel, and therefore he had the same wife twice. I'll tell you a Gishmak story with the Chasam Sofer's wife, Rukiga's daughter. This is no shak, is it? But it's a good story. I mean, we're talking about this wife, you have to say this story. So Rukiga had a daughter called Sorrel, who was married to Rukiga. Sorry, she was married to Chasam Sofer. And she died. And they decided they're not going to tell Rukiga the bad news, because he was already elderly, and they wanted, in those days, they didn't have WhatsApp, so he wouldn't know that she was no longer alive. Yeah, they lived in different parts of the world, and therefore there was no need to tell him. Achamev asked him, he'd go to Shemayim, he'd see his daughter there, and by then he wouldn't be upset. One fine day, a letter comes to Chasam Sofer's door. Dear Sorrel and Chasam Sofer, good news, I'm coming to town. I got a din Torah in your town, in Pressburg, I'm coming. Please get a bed ready. Your loving father, Reb Kivega. There's greater panic in the house of Chasam Sofer. A, his wife is no longer alive, and B, he had subsequently got remarried. So now, Rukiga is going to come to see his daughter. Nishnah is going to find out that his daughter is no longer alive, but there's a new daughter, a new wife in her stead. What is going to be? And the new daughter will just take a panic. Yeah, this is a very traumatic way to meet the ex-father of the father of the ex-wife. Rukiga said, don't worry, I'm going to sort out. You wait in the kitchen, and after about half an hour, knock on the door and come in with some cake, and it's going to be okay. Rukiga arrived at Chasam Sofer's house, and Chasam Sofer says, oh, Shver, Shalom Aleichem, I'm stuck on a Tofus in Chulin, I need your help. And they went straight to the study, and they opened up Tofus in Chulin, and they're fighting backwards and forwards, and the Sforum are flying off, and they're quoting Rukiga, the Chasam Sofer, it's all happening. And in the middle, they knock on the door, and in walks in the new wife of the Chasam Sofer. And she says, Shalom Aleichem, Tati. And he says, oh, Shalom Aleichem, so nice to see you. And he carries on fighting about the Tofus, and Rukiga never knew that it wasn't his daughter. Ad Khan Hamaisa. Now, there's two translations, there's two ways people see the story. The Hasidim say, as you see from here, the Heilige Shmir Sinayim of Kivega, that he didn't even look at his daughter and therefore didn't know that it wasn't his daughter. And the literature say, Egevin Azoi licked and learned him, that he didn't even notice who it was. And that's a good story about Sorrel, the wife of Chasam Sofer.
Logan Abstas.
No, this is Latoy Vasa. What did
he say?
Did he kiss his
daughter?
Vice dose that not.
I had, for a chasna in London, I had a Bransdorf for one of the Bransdorfers from your flying, who came to stay with me. They just gave, put him up with me. Yeah. He said he has not got any idea what his daughters-in-law look like.
Wow.
That's what he said. Yeah. He would meet them, he wouldn't even know who they are.
Wow, good story. Rav Adam brings down, if you do have the same name as the previous wife, previous husband, you just they should call him around the house a different name, not refer to him as the same name, and then you will, even though in the Torah it's the same name, but with that, then it won't be a problem of you're thinking of the other husband, and therefore that's going to be okay. The Achronim discuss, is it a problem by Gerushin as well? If you divorce the first husband, can you get a second husband the same name? And most of them are noter to be Machmir. Next one, in Samach Gimel, he brings down, you shouldn't call your son or your daughter the same name, after the same person. Yeah, let's say you lost your father when you were young, so you feel so warm and you want to call all the children after him. You shouldn't do that. And that, I believe, is the minik. I've never heard of five siblings who have the same name. But if I said halakhati, there's no problem. It's a tzavah and no one else brings it down. Halakhati, you could. Now, there are those who are madayak. It's only a problem if you call acha odom echad. If you want to call Avram after him and Avram after him, perhaps it's not a problem, but most people are chayuk, say you shouldn't. There's a Gemara in Ksubas pay test. There's two sons of Rav Chista. One was called Mar Yanuka, one was called Mar Kshisha. And the Rishonim there bring down that the name was Mar. And the older one they called Kshisha, and the younger one they called Yanuka. Maybe the younger one was born when the father was older, they called him Yanuka, Bekitsa, but they have two brothers there with the same name. Okay, we'll get back to that. The reason you shouldn't do so, Kshuta, is because of Ayin Hara. Yeah, you come in with 20 kids, all called Moshe, except Shikala Ayin Hara. Others say, the reason that we pointed out by someone last year, that it can be a mixture. If they have the same names, then they'll be married to wives, and the wives will not know which one's which, and it gets confusing, and that could be a halachic mixture. Other reason is, the Chishuva brings down, Ligaba Gittin. Normally we say that the concept of Trey Yosef Ben Shimon, Lo Yechashin, you're never concerned in the same town, you have two people with the same name and the same father's name, same grandfather. Here, you're going to have a problem with a get, because you'll have one guy, and you won't know, is it talking about him, talking about his brother, because they have the same halachic name. There's no nuance difference at all, and therefore it can be a problem. In the Sefer Pri Asada, I saw a Shaila, you've got to be rather absent-minded if the Shaila take place. Someone had a son called Yehuda. And he was thinking of a name for his second son. And he thought, you know what? He always likes the name Yehuda. It's always been a favorite name of his. So he called second son Yehuda as well. And he came home. His wife said, what name do you pick? He said, I picked Yehuda. She said, you Meshigana. That's the name of our first son. Because, oh, I realize I like the name for a reason. I think because it's our son's name. They went to ask Yishai to Priya Soda. And he says, you should call him Leibish or something, not Yehuda, and you're going to be okay. And he bought a raya for Mayanuka, Mark Shisha, that even if you have the same name, as long as you do call him something different, there is no problem. Even by half-brothers, the Sitta Eliezer is Machmeh, and I saw the post can discuss, can you call a brother and a sister by the same name? Let's say Simcha. Could you call a brother and sister Simcha? And for the reason of Ayin Hara, L'Chaira, you should not, and for the other reason of Gittin, it would be okay, because it won't be on the same side of the get. One will be the woman's name, one will be the man's name, and then one will say Ben, one will say Bas, and if you that, it will be okay. Okay, I just read out just one or two interesting tzavahs that you might know, and you're not sure where it comes from. Number one, you shouldn't, when you leave your house to go on a journey, not to come back home. You knew this? Mm-hmm. If you go to Israel and you leave left behind your potato chips, you should not enter the house to go back in. You should rather call for your wife to bring something out. You shouldn't re-enter the home. It's a tzavah lam ches. Tzavah lam tes, not to shine your shoes on the day that you're traveling. Here I have a kasha. Not to shine your shoes on the day you travel. In the olden days, in all the airports, they had these shoe shining stations. So that's a mamash steerer to the tzavah. I think we've done enough. Shkai Karen for listening. Have a very good day.
How did it originally start off? Moshe's grandchildren.
Could be, but now, yes, yeah, so maybe for Moshe's grandchildren called to Moshe, that's
yeah,
not
that's fine,
so crazy.
Yeah.
But for me, to that, I'm stacked to Moshe Rabbeinu. My son should grow up be like a little Moshe. It's not appropriate.
I never knew. Yeah, very, very fascinating. I mean, that's very good. It's so good that you go with those things because it's like. But I can't believe that you shouldn't go out and what's the argument? I think that's the minute.
I'm hoping you were learning.
Yeah, no, I think that's the minute was shoe shining. Yenim Kinye. It's only the game itself. That's what I think was.
I didn't go to that tomorrow.
Train station is airport. Yeah, they don't do that.
The nice story of Kregan and the Josefa and the Sotheim had a story.
Yeah, but at Chassid, to not look, I don't know anyone who doesn't look at their daughter at Chassid.
What's that? Is that? I wonder if Sri Maya would recognize daughters. I wonder.
Some of his daughters, yeah. His wife?
His wife, yeah.
But his daughters.
Yeah. I was on Shlaim, I saw a car driving past and looked like it had to save a toe in the back seat. It was like a wrapped up talus. And I followed it, it was a Sri Maya.
Yeah.
Typical you to follow.
Yeah, I know. Like going there, kind of like, what's going on here?